Welcome along to the Short Baller Rugby Pass podcast with Scotty Stevenson and Ellie Williams. Are you turning me down already?
Yeah, mate.
Are you turning me down already? We've only just arrived. I can't believe this is...
Yeah, but you go so full noise on me.
I know. I'm really coming
energy
in off the bat.
There
you go. I've got you. I can hear you just... I've got headphones on. I can not hear you through my headphones, but I can hear you.
I prefer it like that, actually.
Hey, how you going, mate? How was your Easter?
Great Easter.
Chalky up?
Yep. Yeah, with... The kids just love it, don't they?
Yeah.
It's just magical. Mm. Easter egg hunts. Mm. And then it was down at the beach and went long lining. We caught some fish.
Good effort.
And the girls, about 3 or 4 hours later, ate their own fish that they caught. And I was like, this is New Zealand in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Right. Beautiful snapper.
Obviously a couple.
All legal sized.
Are you sure? How big was the pan?
Few marginal ones, to be honest with you. With respect, I revived three because I was like, these are a bit too dubious.
Okay.
But then we got enough for a feed.
It's a bit of a problem with long lining, isn't it?
No, but I resuscitated them.
What, mouth to mouth?
Nah, it wasn't that intimate. We're back on this animal fish type dugong talk. And
no, we're not on the dugong
the
talk.
Owl.
Cuckoo. So the rudu.
The rudu.
Yeah, it's been a lot of animals in the news this week. What about the gorillas posing for selfies in Rwanda? Did you see that?
No.
There is a shot. You've got to look up the shot. It's mountain gorillas in Rwanda, and they're posing with two of the guards who protect them from poachers. And I shit you not, it looks like a Nickelback album cover.
Serious?
You know the old sort of rock style album cover where the lead singer's right up front, a couple of guys just in the midground, then one guy on the back, usually the bass guitarist. Yeah. it's like that, except two gorillas.
You reckon the bass guitarist did the best?
Oh, 100%. On tour? 100%.
Because he could just get away with anything.
Yeah, because no one knew what he looked like.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Happy days. Come
I'm
on
with
up.
Them. I'm the guy that plays in the corner.
Bass.
How are you doing?
Never trust the bass player.
No, he
good with his fingers.
Only could play four strings though, couldn't he? Not like a guitarist or a drummer who had to beat to heaps of different tunes. Just doom, 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 doom. That's his four hits.
Sometimes
but
he probably needed four strings.
He mastered them though, didn't he?
That's exactly my
point.
So
he could execute with perfection all four of his magical things.
Right.
A little bit like Ma Nonu.
Are we on Nonu Watch early? You're picking him already. He's in your team.
I picked him at the start of the year.
I know you did.
We don't have to go on to Nonu Watch right now.
No, we'll go straight to Nonu Watch.
Okay.
Did you appreciate him on the weekend?
He is just, he's just climbing. He's building and he's building. His feet are faster. He's got that ability to turn attack into defence quite quickly. Mm. Defensively, he's getting a lot faster. He's a lot faster in their face. Defensively, and I just reckon his experience, like he's a guy, he's a Brad Thorne story, which people don't know yet, in terms of how he's turned around his life and culture and what he believes in and things like that. He's turned it around. I'm not talking religious type things, but in terms of what he wants out of life, and you know, he knows that his body's good, but he's got to look after it, and that's what he's doing. And young people see this and have so much respect for someone that can do this and really genuinely dedicate their life to playing rugby, and that's what he's doing, and he's going well.
Do you remember Thorny used to go to trainings and he'd always he'd keep the bus waiting, right, so he could do his stretches after every training. I'd go and do interviews in the team hotel and he'd have a pillow just out in the conference centre doing yoga against pillars and shit.
It was so painful.
Just doing my stretches, mate.
I'd be like, mate, what are you doing?
Mate, this keeps me going, mate. Does it, mate?
The Reds had
a great weekend
over the Sharks,
I did not pick that, mind you. No, I couldn't pick a thing over this weekend. So not
the
as in your side.
The Sharks are woeful, though.
The Sharks are gone. Well, hey, we are there. We can do that. It's our podcast.
That's in you and I's now, isn't it?
Yeah, Millsy's deserted us.
Oh, God,
we'll get him in for a farewell chat, but
he didn't even just acknowledge.
Nah,
he's leaving.
Well, he dropped a smoke bomb and went, but that's very much Mills' style.
Don't know if you can talk, mate. You sort of just boom for see you later.
I'm like that. I get to.
So I'll be the next one.
Yeah, it's just be.
Mine will be a bit like. See you later. Mine won't be. I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah.
See you later.
This will just be. I'm going.
I'm going.
Where are you going? I don't know, but I'm going.
I've got no options.
Tell me this about. Ma Nonu, I'm fascinated because Ma Nonu has always fascinated me as a person.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to ask you to engage in any form of character assassination here, but answer me this. Would it be fair to say he was a tough person and probably still is a tough person to figure out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, there's no doubting the fact that he has his idiosyncrasies around his character, you know, what means things to him, and then his level of between his humour and his I'm serious and these things are important to me. And he can change very, very quickly on that.
Yeah.
But over time you learn to understand him, and I, you know, I'd call him a very close mate around from what I got from out of rugby. And he, but he's moving that towards, no, this is who I am, and I'm like this more and more and over and over. Like, he's not, I would say, he doesn't look at himself as the guy that has to provide humour now. He looks at himself as, nah, the person, and this is who he wants to be. So, yep, no, that's a fair assessment, but he has, like anyone, we're constantly changing.
Yeah, we are. Well, we hope so anyway. That's what life's about. Because I remember there would be days where you'd be greeted with genuine affection, and then there'd be other days where you'd be sharing an elevator in complete silence.
And you
kind of just like, I don't know where I stand with you, man, but happy days. It's all good. It's all good.
It's a bit sulky.
But I wonder if that a part of him that's changed? He's found a more even...
Yeah, he's more consistent as a person, which I think consistency is the one thing that gives you performance and repeated performance and higher achievements. Mm-hmm. You get it, whether it be life or rugby, sport or anything. You know, if you're consistent, then people can read you, people can give you feedback, you know, people can rely on you, all those sorts of things. So, yeah, I'd say he's a lot more consistent, something that a lot of us strive for, including myself.
Yeah, likewise, mate. You're not
all
alone.
All over the show.
Yeah, that's a big club. I want to talk about consistency.
I need a deep breath after that.
Yeah, do.
Deep
that's
and meaningful.
Very D&M.
Yeah, that was.
I want to, consistency, I guess, is a decent enough segue to our next topic. I spoke about this on radio during the week. Someone asked about the round of Super Rugby. And I thought to myself, I remember watching the games unfold over the weekend and thinking, there is some bush league footy going on out here, like seriously bush league stuff. And it didn't lack for excitement.
No.
Not at all. I mean, it had all that, had all the flair, had all the whiz bang pop, but sometimes you want to watch a rugby game and think to yourself, execution is beautiful.
Yeah.
And when you don't execute, it's ugly. It's entertaining from the fact that, you know, a guy sort of driving a car around in big shoes and a red nose is entertaining.
Yeah.
But there was clown rugby going on all over the show. I wondered whether or not New Zealand teams at the moment, in their desire to showcase flair, athleticism, speed, have forgotten that sometimes you got to get in the trenches and just win the grind.
All right. With your question, I potentially ask another question.
Yeah.
Is Super Rugby creating the new form of rugby? And what I mean by that is it trying to create the 2020 version of cricket through Super Rugby, because it is now getting further and further apart, international rugby and Super Rugby, and not by the players, because the same players are playing it, but by the techniques and by the... I don't have any other word for it, but the respect of the game. E.g., I can't understand how so many teams are going for the corner to yet give you a 50-50, maybe a 75-25, definitely 50-50 when I was playing, line-out opportunity to then create a drive to then score off that, where there's 3 points there. You take the kick off, you kick it down, you hound them, there could potentially be a line-out on the 40-metre, and a good exit play. I don't understand where the lack of knowledge, or not knowledge, but respect of how the game was designed and played. So I think I personally think it needs to happen. We need to create the new modern version of the game, and maybe it's self-generating now in Super Rugby. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, I just don't understand how these people aren't grinding out points pressure, scrum pressure, you know, these elements that they just keep working to get reward.
Well, you have moments of what I might term lucidity in a game of rugby.
Lucidity.
Where it seems like the team's completely switched on to purpose.
Yeah.
The Crusaders do it for 80 minutes, week in, week out. That's why they keep winning championships. So if people don't understand this by now, they never will. But I watched the Highlanders go back to what works for the Highlanders. You know, and if you look at the stats through the weekend, the Hurricanes got out alive by the skin of their teeth against the Sunwolves. You know, they crushed them on metres run, clean breaks, offloads. The Chiefs lead pretty much every offensive stat or in the top five of every offensive stat. They're bottom of the table in the New Zealand Conference. What is that telling you?
Yeah.
The Blues, I think, reverted to type a little bit on the weekend when they got themselves in pressure situations and thought once again that someone will save us. Mm. Someone will make the magic happen.
And they looked tired, didn't they?
They did.
Because two derbies in a row and they looked tired.
Agreed with all of that, but that's the old habit creeping back into the game. Yeah. That would have killed Leon McDonald and Tom Coventry, I reckon. And so we're left with the Highlanders who just went to work.
Yeah. Led by Elliot Dixon.
Oh, Dixon was immense.
She played.
Coltman was sensational.
Yeah, these
guys who have had that taste of the All Blacks, have had that experience, but are just great club men, roll the sleeves up and go to it. And the point you made earlier that there's a gulf between Super Rugby and International Rugby, we've been told that for years by the likes of Steve Hansen that Super Rugby doesn't mean anything when it comes to international. But I, for the first time in a very long time, and maybe it's because I've had a little distance away from being at games week in, week out, I really noticed it on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I thought, far out, if we take that philosophy, if these players don't get that philosophy out of their system before the Rugby World Cup, they could be in grave danger.
Correct. I mean, the biggest thing for me is when you watch a Six Nations week and then watch Super Rugby, it's literally a different game.
Yeah.
And everyone's saying, well, the entertainment in Super Rugby. I'm saying, well, what's wrong with a good old scrum battle and a bit of biffo and some real passion and some nutter Welshman and some mad Englishman, you know, going out. That to me is entertainment. It's got so many different aspects. Yes, you want to see a bit more of that running in that, but maybe, you know, maybe Super Rugby has got to be revolutionary. Maybe it's now at that point where it's like, right, we're going to change some rules in here.
Okay.
I think it'd be quite cool, to be honest.
Well, they've got a deal coming up with their broadcasters, so they need a product that's going to work. And at the moment, you know, that's...
Isn't that what you're doing in the background, mate? Starting your own broadcasting company.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, we're doing some crowdfunding at the moment. So anyone that wants to put in a few bucks, we're going to try and buy the rights to Super Rugby. Well, why not? Let's start it here, mate.
Well, you've got the cash, right? Did you get anything out of all this rugby you played? Surely you saved some money.
A few of them got cut short contracts. that cost me a fair bit.
Stop but, relitigate that.
No. Oh, look, I did all right, but I still have to work day to day.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass work.
It's a pretty good start to life, though. Let's put it that way.
You've done good, kid. Rodney's proud of you.
He is,
hey, before we move on to something else that seems to be stressing everyone out at the moment, welcome back, producer Alice. She's here.
Hi, team.
How you going?
I'm going well. How are you?
It's so good to have you back. It's lovely to have Tina as well, but we've missed you.
I know. I've missed being here.
What have you been doing?
Oh, just useless stuff, really. Right. Nothing that matters.
Okay.
You're not exactly offering to this conversation.
Come on,
we want more energy, mate. Oh, this is what we're designed here.
Should I come in louder like Scotty?
Yeah.
Come in with a bit of heat.
Hey, tell me this, though. You spent Easter weekend in my hometown, actually.
I did indeed.
In Waipu in Te Tai Tokoro, Northland.
Are you a Waipu boy?
There was an auction going on up there. Can you just tell me what the lead prize in the auction was?
A night with sumo.
Small towns are weird. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
The lead prize, someone bought for $700.
Yeah.
Weed killer.
And
a night for two at the Waipu Tavern. That's a package. A package deal.
$700
for weed killer.
And a night for two
at the Waipu Tavern.
Here's a question. You use the weed killer before the night or after the night?
I'm not entirely sure. What's the weed killer for?
Mate, you grew up there. You would know, mate. There's got to be a stock standard.
Yeah, obviously, you've got to get rid of your broadleaf weeds if you're running a good pasture up there.
You're going before.
Get rid of those.
Depends who you take, though. You might use it after.
Yes, that's very
during.
True.
Or during.
Who knows?
Whoa. I've never had a sexual experience at the Waipu Tavern, full stop, let alone one involving weed killer. The Waipu Tavern, though, I've got to be honest with you. That's an expensive night at the Waipu Tavern.
Yeah.
Did you manage to pop into the tavern?
No, I didn't. No, we went to Pizza Bun, though.
Oh, Pizza Bun. Yeah, that's
it's a good spot up there.
Oh,
I used to holiday up at a place called Langs Beach.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Well, no, we were.
It's where the Flash people live.
We were in a tent next to a Flash house.
That's nice.
Because we didn't, we obviously didn't.
Well, it's a lovely part of the world. And yeah, I can highly recommend a beer from McLeod's Pizza Barn and McLeod's Brewery. Try the
Sumo's.
Try the Tropical Cyclone Pale Ale at a hefty 8.4%. She'll get you.
Sumo's dad works there. He's owned it for several years and works there.
He's so dead.
It's
He's the first dead brewer in Waipu.
See, I told you he's a legend. This family is unbelievable.
Hey, I want to talk about Damien McKenzie because everyone else is.
D-Mac conversation is starting to drive me nuts.
Can I just have a laugh about some of the horrendous shit that's been written about Damien McKenzie and the pressure the All Blacks are now under because he's not available? I don't know whether we just have no long-term memory left in sport, but we didn't go to the last World Cup with three first fives starting every game or on the bench or in the 23.
In the squad there was, wasn't there?
Yeah, but we never used them. We quarter final, semi-final, final, Beauden Barrett was on the bench.
Yeah. Who started?
Dan Carter.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing now, how quickly you forget people.
I'm just thinking to myself.
I genuinely forgot who was there.
Oh, no. That's so good.
You know the poor
kid. It's like
kid,
one of your closest mates.
I'm winding out. Kid's got his neck brace on at the moment. He's been in it for, a week and a half? And it's
crazy.
Already killing him.
He'll be going crazy.
I'm like, kid, you've still got another 3 or 4 months left, you poor rooster.
Here's the other thing. You don't laugh at him. Poor
it's
guy.
It's just not fair, mate. He's so perfect, and he's got a neck brace on. I bet you he still looks good in underwear. Put him on the back of a bus jockey?
Do you know what he's done? I guarantee that he signed up a deal for a cover of some sort of, broken neck magazine.
Definitely
he'll
signed
be there in fur just with his neck brace on.
He's definitely promoting something with a neck brace on. This is so good. That's quite cool.
Now, I've got to get back to McKenzie. What cracks me up the most is that now we think we've got a first five crisis, but for the last 2 years, everyone said Damien McKenzie's not a first five. So how can the loss of Damien McKenzie now lead us to a first five crisis? We're not in a crisis. Your boy Martin Nonno probably gets a check now, tick against his name, because there's another space opened up in the back line, and midfield was a much bigger conundrum for the All Blacks than fullback and first five was anyway.
Exactly. He wasn't a first five, though. He was an impact player. So what we've got to try and do, we've got to try and find an impact player.
So you've got Ben Smith on the park, you've got Beauden Barrett on the park, you've got Geordie Barrett available, you've got Rico Ioane, who's already got utility factor, you've got Martin Nonna, who you want in the team, you've got Anton Leonard-Brown, you've got Jack Goodhue.
I think he's an outsider that could be there.
So you're going to put Harvey Leonard
Here's a question.
Bridge?
I propose this to you.
Yeah.
If we're lacking the impact player.
Which we're not.
Well, no, in terms of the Damien McKenzie like-for-like swap,
sure.
Right? What about this? Mwanga starts at 10.
Yeah.
Ben Smith's at fullback.
Yeah.
And Golden Balls is on the bench and provides impact. Golden Balls being a.k.a. Beauden Barrett.
Can you imagine?
Bang.
Can you imagine Beauden Barrett swallowing that deal?
It'd be a tricky one, Chief.
Can you imagine him buying that deal?
You know what would happen, though? He would walk in. I can see it happening. He walks into the selectors room in the hotel. Beauden, we just want to talk to you, mate.
Speak from experience.
And
here.
You, we've got a thing for the team here. We think the team is going to be really good. This is going to be good for you. And you know the beauty of this? You're the only one that can fill this role.
You've been in this before. This conversation happened to you.
Big time. And it's like, look, you know what? You offer so much more off the bench. And it's just so good for the team, and this is about the team. And but hold on, this is when you pipe in. But hold on,
but
I would like to start.
Mm-hmm.
So is this about you, or is this about the team? You didn't just bloody say that, did you, Shag?
No.
Yes, I did.
Oh,
it's
no.
About the team, isn't it?
Oh no!
Poor kid. No. I can feel it, mate. If it happens, ring me. I'll come and get you Thursday night because it's normally Thursday morning. I'll come and get you. We'll miss that training. I'll have a beer with you and we can talk through everything. Because at the end of the day, is what it is.
Okay, you know, what about that? What about starting Barrett at fullback? Not even on the bench. What about starting him at fullback? Ben Smith on the wing, Barrett at fullback, Mwanga at first five, swap him halfway around, move Ben Smith back to fullback, bring someone else on the wing. The options are endless, right?
The options are endless. We're stressing out.
Yeah.
I don't think, but I mean, that's New Zealand media, and we are very much pessimists when it comes to having an injury of someone. We don't. And then all of a sudden, we'll have one kid that goes good against Tonga. Havili goes good against Tonga, and the world is a different place. And the All Blacks are potentially going to win again.
We'll beat us.
But at the moment, no, it's not so good. Yeah, I don't know. I think we've definitely got enough answers. The thing that the big debate is, do you take 3 10s and 3 9s? I think it's hard for a 7 week, 8 week competition if you don't have those sorts of players. Because of trainings and the likes, you get a knock, and who plays those, I wouldn't say minnow games, but who plays those other games?
They're minnow games.
Okay.
They are minnow games. That's what they are.
Developing nations that are climbing through the ranks.
Yeah, no chances. Yeah, look, well, that's the one issue. And we know full well that the All Blacks don't have a contingency for this situation. They didn't have a contingency for an injury to Damien McKenzie, but I just look back over the last, even over the last 2 years of All Blacks rugby, the whole notion that suddenly Mwanga, Barrett and McKenzie have been crucial to every All Black performance in the last 5 years is just a nonsense.
It's rubbish.
It's 6 months
McKenzie's
old.
McKenzie's played one game at 10, hasn't he?
Whatever it is, but it's just that combination in any 23 is so fresh, it's almost a blip.
Do you think this little thing puts more pressure on Geordie Barrett, who I think is the one person that we don't want to actually put pressure on? You just want to let him play?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because I
but someone needs to tell Geordie Barrett where he plays.
I know, poor kid. He's winger, fullback, 12. Why don't we chuck him at 10 as well? He definitely could go 10.
At 10. Yeah. The tallest 10 since Larkin.
Bernie, that was his nickname, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Bernie Larkin, yeah.
Hey, a couple of other matters in Super Rugby. We'll deal with the Damien
McKenzie. What about major issues, mate?
What, major issues?
Have you seen the blisters on my hands? So this is what happens when you go from being a rugby player and moisturising your hands every day in mud and just, you know, doing that sort of stuff, to getting on a shovel. I was on a shovel for 6 hours digging foundations.
How many of those 6 hours were you actually working?
Genuinely, 6 hours.
6 hours.
6 hours on a shovel getting these foundations done. 800 centimetres deep.
Sure, understood.
By 800 wide in hard clay.
You've got some respect for these guys. Why are you doing that?
I just think it's good for me.
What?
Bring me way back down to
manual labour.
Yeah, I feel good.
Did you feel good at the time?
Yeah, I did.
How was the back?
I was sweating like a... Not good. No, well, when you're 800 down and you've only got a shovel, which is, what, 1.2?
Or you're leaning over. And you're a long way down to start with.
Exactly, and you get a hard bit of clay and you're... and then I got in the foundation and then it was easier and I got a lot of respect for those diggers.
Yeah.
They just churn through it, mate. And then the human, and that's... You know, you go along South Africa if you're on tour and you're going from... let's say, Joburg to Sun City.
I do know that road.
Yes. You know that road. And every now and then you see a little shanty town getting built and you see two lads in there all laid up with clothes, like full clothes, and they're sitting in there and the one shovel comes out and you're like, you're not serious. And this, with these two guys are digging foundations for this whole house, you're like, holy.
Yeah.
I mean, how good do we have it?
Takes a long time, but it's cheap. That's different. How much were you charging per hour to dig footings?
No, this is... The bank was charging me, mate. The old mortgage. The bank was charging
me. I understood. Well, you'll get a return out of it, mate. It's good that you've left a little bit of yourself in this build.
Oh, I have.
I'm really happy for you.
I have. No, I have.
It's character building.
Even this big guy who's really tough, old Rooster, he said to me, well, mate, should have used gloves.
Should have used gloves?
On a shovel? He goes, should have used gloves.
Because I'm looking at that, that's rower level bleeding shit.
Yeah, they're definitely, they're serious, guys.
Actually, it kind of looks like you've got lesions. Can we just touch on one last thing before we rip this pot up today? Crusaders back in business against the Lions. Lions had a pretty good run against the Chiefs.
Yep.
Rudolph Strally. Remember Rudolph Strally, former coach of the Springboks?
Yeah.
Who had them all nude in a camp? Camp Stahl.
2007.
Stahlgrad.
Three, wasn't it? 2003. Yeah, yeah.
What was the name?
Our security guard actually ran that, the one that, Cuban. He actually ran it. He ran
Camp Stahlgrad.
Stahlgrad. Yeah, that's his camp.
No.
He's our security guard. Yeah.
Yeah, so Strally got his whole team nude at the camp and then he had to resign after the 2003 World Cup. He's the CEO of the Lions. He's come out this week on Rugby Pass and said, oh, yeah, we were always going to start Malcolm Marks and was it Warren Whiteley as
Warren Whiteley, yeah.
We just didn't want the Chiefs to know. So there's accusations now of a bit of bad sportsmanship on Australia's part. Meanwhile, Swayze De Bruyne has gone home, the head coach, because he's on stress leave, and their assistant coach is facing an indecent assault charge. She's all happening for the Lions.
The Lions roaring,
she's
isn't
all,
it, mate?
She's all happening.
The Lions in the back blocks of the Serengeti.
And they've got to go down and face the Crusaders. Good luck.
That'll be a tough old gig, won't it? But
they'll get smashed.
I think... doesn't it show that there's sportsmanship on the field and off the field and banter and strategy? More strategy, I would say.
Well, they call it strategy.
Strategy off the field.
Yeah, they think it's fair play.
If you look at us, right, we're such nice guys, us Kiwis. We say to everyone, right, our guys are going to rest 4 games in Super Rugby or 6 games in Super Rugby. We're going to do it this. It's all going to be a case by case. The media, you can know everything. You know what other teams do? Some Wolves, yeah, we're ready. It's going to be a great season. Oh, no, we didn't pick him. He's got a bit of an injury. Oh, we didn't pick him. Oh, she's halfway through the season. We better put a few guys back in and voila. But here we do. We just explain everything.
Are you saying we should go deeper undercover?
Yeah. Why not? Like, who's actually genuinely going to know? Oh, Bowden Barrett. I mean, he's had a flat out start of the season. Why? Yeah, he's been in Fiji, Instagramming about how he kicks, shirt off. I mean, he's a hot dog. He lives the life, doesn't he? But why do we have to, why does Steve Hansen have to say all this stuff? That's what I don't understand.
Well,
I know it's pulling the wool over the supporters' eyes and that sort of
but
stuff.
But I think this is not Steve Hansen's doing. I mean, he's telling the coaches of Super Rugby, they're then informing their team, then their team's informing their families, and then their families informing their friends, and all of a sudden these stories are out there. I don't think it's
Do you think it's like that?
100%. 100%. The All Black team would be named on everyone in the All Blacks would know who's in the team on a Monday, Tuesday morning at the latest. Mate, first thing that's happening is boys are on the phones to their mates going, oh, yeah, and the team going to be playing this weekend.
Yeah, you've got two free tickets for you, bro.
Two tickets for you. Then they're going to go, oh, yeah, Bugsy's in the team this weekend. And, you know, mate, there are a million people who know who's in that All Black team before the embargo is lifted on their media release.
You think so?
100%.
Okay. Oh, I would never argue with you. Sam,
have you ever in your All Blacks life told someone you were in the test team before the test team was announced?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So I rest my case.
Well, the old man wants to know what I need for dinner.
Yeah.
He's like, mate, you in the team? Yep. Okay, we have this. You in the team? Nah, mate. So I got a special treat for you, but
what would the special treat be?
Dessert, mate.
Oh, perfect.
Pile on the dessert.
Perfect.
You know, get pork belly. Got the crackling. Oof. My birthday next Tuesday, the old boy's going to whip up something magical for me.
What's his go-to dish?
A pork belly. He likes a pork belly, yeah. But he's a dessert man.
Is he?
Oh, he just keeps pumping it with the dessert.
Never struck me as a dessert man.
Pull back, kid. No, yeah. He doesn't.
No.
The old boy. He's in good form, actually. You know why?
Why?
Fully charged the wheelchair the other day. Full of energy. Full of power.
Fully
mate.
Charged the wheelchair.
He fully charged it. For the first time he left it in overnight and fully charged the wheelchair. He's got heaps of energy. The old fella. He's on fire, mate.
Well played.
He's on fire.
I'm really hungry now that you've started bringing up food chat on this podcast. I think we'll end it there. Producer Alice, thanks for your help, mate.
Thank you, Alice. Unbelievable.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, so good. That'll do it for the short ball this week. We'll catch up with you next week. Enjoy your Super Rugby this weekend. I'm sure it'll be batshit crazy as ever.
It'll be amazing.
Let's hope so.
The Ruru is checking out.
He's gone.